Chapter 14, read by Mrs. Sizer. Bright morning light assaults my face. My eyes pop open. I dig my front paws into the floor and stretch way back. I walk my hind legs in and thrust my chest way out. I look around. Hey, I'm not in Hattie's bed. I'm in that same boring room from yesterday. Did I sleep in here again? I trot over to the door, and there's more bad news. It's blocked by the gate. What do I do to deserve this? Where is Hattie? I try to remember. Riding home in the car, Hattie gazing out the window, bossing me up here, clicking the gate. I give a little yelp. The memories are almost too agonizing. Another night, all alone, curled up on the hard wooden floor. What happened to my bedtime fur brushing? Hattie's sweet voice singing, best buddies, best buddies. Or the soft, comfy blankets that smell like mint and vanilla. Are they gone for good? One thing's for sure. This is not how it's supposed to be. I have to do something. I have to get my Hattie back. I position myself at the gate. Hattie, Hattie, I bark as loud as I can. Please help me. I'm trapped and I have to get out. I'd add an extra howl or two to make my point. But when I stop, all I hear is quiet. I start to think that maybe she's actually gone away and is never coming back. But then I catch the sounds of my leash jingling and footsteps charging up the stairs. I knew it, I knew it, I barked, spinning in circles. I'm so relieved. I almost forgot to rush over to greet her. I've missed you so much. Hattie bends down and lifts me over the gate. I lick her cheek, but she turns away. She smells annoyed. She sets me on the floor and goes to clip my leash. Hooray, hooray, we're going for a walk. I leap up, pawing her leg. I can hardly wait. Hattie frowns. Fenway, sit, she says. Yowie, a treat is coming. I twirl around with hungry anticipation. Sit, she snaps, trying to steady me with her hand, which does not have a treat inside. I spring out of her grasp. I sniff her pocket. Where is the treat? Hattie lets out a loud sigh. She grabs my collar and clips the leash with a frustrated huff. Next thing I know, we're hustling down the stairs. We head out the sliding door into the back dog park and straight over to the bushes. Hattie stands still waiting. Come to think of it, there is some business I need to attend to. I'm barely finished when I detect a nasty sniff of squirrel. Nose to the ground, I search for the trail. When my collar tugs and, hey! Hattie's dragged me through the grass and up the porch steps. What's the hurry, I bark? We just got here. But she must not hear me. She pulls me inside and back up the stairs into the boring, empty room behind the gate. Without a pat or a rub, she disappears. I sink onto the floor. Why is Hattie doing this? Why is she changing? Why can't she stay my wonderful Hattie forever? I curl back into a ball to continue the most boring day ever. I must drift back to sleep for a while, because when I open my eyes, sounds are floating in from the window. I dash over to investigate. Thump! Yes! Hattie's joyful voice yells. I must find out what's going on. I climb onto a box near the back wall. I leap in up and up until my front paws cling to the window ledge. Balancing on the tippy tips of my hind paws, I peer down through the screen into the dog park. I spot the grass, the fence, the giant tree in the back. They all look so much smaller for some reason. Hattie and Fetchman are standing at opposite ends of the dog park, caps on their heads. Each has a fat glove on one hand. Fetchman goes into a windup, like he's going to throw a ball for a game of fetch, only he has no ball. Hattie nods. She clutches her glove to her chest. She reaches into the glove and pulls out a white ball. Then she winds up exactly like Fetchman did and tosses it toward him. He leaps up, thrusting his fat glove way out to the side. Thwomp! He snags it and claps the glove with his other hand. Yes! Hattie cries. She dances around, waving her arms. I start to pant uncontrollably. My humans are playing in the dog park, while their loyal dog is trapped up here inside a boring room. They are acting happy like we're having fun. Like they're having fun. Like they don't even realize that somebody important is missing. This is so wrong. I must do something. But then my ears pick up other sounds from over the fence. Clink, jingle, jingle. Wowee, talk about distracting. Right next to our dog park is another one just the same, with grass and bushes and a fence all around it. It doesn't have a giant tree in the back, but it does have two dogs in it, a golden retriever and a white dog with the black patches. Hey, it's the ladies. They look perfectly content, too. Goldie is sniffing in the bushes. Patches is rolling on the ground. Everybody's having fun, and I'm stuck here all alone. Or am I? All right, comes from nearby. Hey, somebody else is up here, too. I turn way to the side above the ladies' dog park. Peeping out an open window, the same level as mine, is the head of a short human with a cap and a long, wavy tail. Angel? She's watching Hattie and Fetchman, grinning and pumping her fist. Why is Angel up in the window when the ladies are playing down in the dog park? That's not the way it's supposed to be. It reminds me of Patch's sad voice. It's so painful to watch. So very like our own sweet Angel, with that same white ball, the same glove. Hattie hugs her own fat glove like it's a used-to-be bear or an adorable dog. Another human's voice sounds from directly below my window. Food lady! Fetchman turns and flips the ball to Hattie. She reaches forward and scoops it up into her glove. She smiles again. Fetchman jogs toward the house and vanishes from view. I hear the door slide open and bang shut. Hattie twirls around, happy as can be. She throws the ball up into the air and watches it fall, thump, into the fat glove. Again and again. My ears flap with sadness. My short human is playing by herself. It's not right. Doesn't she need me? Please, oh please, Hattie, I whine. Let's play ball together like we did before. Hattie looks up. She scowls, one hand on her hip, then shakes her head. She goes back to tossing the ball, like that's the only thing she wants to do or cares about. Oh, please, please, Hattie, I cry. I'll let you win, I promise. I scrape my claws on the window ledge. I jump higher. My claws poke the screen. Hattie snaps her head up in alarm. Fenway, she shouts. She races toward the house and quickly disappears. I hear the door thud. Hooray, hooray! I fly off the box and tear around the empty room. I knew she'd come. Soon Hattie arrives at the gate. Fenway, she scolds. How am I in trouble? There isn't even anything to do here. When she scoops me up, I go crazy licking her cheek. I'm so glad you're back, I bark between slurps. She tastes like salty sweat. And something else, too. Confidence again? I'm so happy to be back in Hattie's arms. I nestle against her neck all the way down the stairs and through the house. The more she speaks in that stern, un-Hattie voice, the more I snuggle. By the time we head out the sliding door, she's stroking my back. I knew she couldn't resist her super best friend. She sets me on the porch and I dance around. Yippee, I bark, we're finally going to play. But maybe Hattie's had enough playing. The door closes and she's gone. My heart crashes. What just happened? I can't go on like this. I have to get my Hattie back for good. I plop down for a quick scratch when suddenly I realize the opportunity I've been waiting for is sitting right next to me on the porch.